never know what you're talking about. I've wondered what would be a good thing to talk about. You do hear lessons all the time. One I think would fit all of us is
being aware of the devil. The devil's after all of us. We know that he's out there. The Bible warns us about him, but I think that sometimes we don't realize the power that the devil has. He's very influential. He can lead the very elect. He can cause the very elect to be lost. Just he's that cunning. He's that sly. He's a lot smarter than we are. Sometimes we don't realize that. We can read examples in there and we think, well, that was so foolish for them to fall for that. And yet we fall for something very similar, something even more crazy than what they did probably. The Bible warns us repeatedly to beware of Satan and his devices. He has his devices. He has his way, his plans. He's practiced it for thousands of years, and he's got it down pat. He's very good at it. And he's doing a good job. We're told in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's pretty bold language, a roaring lion. If the lion was loose in this room right now, I think we'd just stand up and take notice. And we'd just try to stay away from it as good as we possibly could. We'd run from it. So if you view the devil like that, that we should run from him. A lot of times I think we're so used to him, we don't view him hardly as dangerous as a lion, but he's a million times worse than a lion, really, when you look at it. The devil's after every one of us. That's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. In Luke 22 and 31 says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus is talking to Peter here. He says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Notice Jesus didn't run the devil off. You know, it would be nice if he would, if he just run him off for us so we wouldn't have to worry about it. That's not how it works. But he told him, he said, I have prayed for you. So many words he was telling Peter, he said, you're going to have to deal with Satan. That's what he was telling. He was trying to prepare him for it. Jesus had to deal with him too, didn't he? The devil will come after all of us, any of us. The Son of God, he was after him. So nobody can escape him. None of us are isolated from the devil. He's after all of us. More so if you're in the church. If you're trying to do right, he's after us. The people out in the world that are not serving God, he's not after them as much. He's already got them. He's got them in his clutches. But he wants us too. He wants everybody. So he'll try hard more that if you're a good Christian, you're going to run across all kind of things that's going to cause you to want to sin. You got to be brave and strong and just think about how awful he is, how dangerous the situation is. Must remember that Jesus is there to help us like he was with Peter. He's just as concerned for us as he was for Peter. And he loved Peter. Jesus loves us very much and he helps us all he can. It's because of this roaring lion that God reminds us so much and warns us so much throughout the Bible. That's why he gives us the statements is this. He tells us about people that have followed Satan in the past. You can read through the Bible there. There's so many times people that did that. We won't go there, but you can read about Adam and Eve. We know they're the very first ones that came on earth. And they were deceived by Satan and what he did there and what it cost them, the consequences it cost them. We can look at that. We won't read that example. We know it very well. There's several instances. Children of Israel, they would leave God. They'd go off, worship idols. They'd do all sorts of things. The devil would lead them away from God. They were on their way to Canaan land. They were on their way and they get sidetracked because of the devil. We're on our way to heaven. We get sidetracked because of the devil. We know these things. We know more than they did. Back in those days, the Bible wasn't written completely. They just had a few things to go by. They had prophets talking to them and different things. And they knew a little bit. They knew some about God. But we can look back and see all their mistakes. And that should help us to do better. We can see where they messed up and try to avoid doing that same thing. Some of them had to experience it the first time for Adam and Eve, of course, they had nobody else to look at. If Eve had read about all my mistakes, she might not have fell for the devil's lies there. But as I said, we got so much to look at, but we can't look at all the examples. But tonight I'd like to look at Pharaoh. You know, I thought I tried to pick out something different that we don't do all the time. But when we look at this Egyptian king, we can see a picture of Satan. Just plain out, you can see in everything he does, you can see the devil in him. That's how the devil works. You can see it just because we know it's there. He tried to corrupt God's people. That's what he tried to do. And we can make application to this today, to our lives, if you look at this. Of course, we all know the story of how Joseph was sold into slavery and he went down to Egypt. And he was imprisoned. It was God's plan for him to do that. He became second in command under the Pharaoh that was there at the time. So in due time, the family of Joseph came down. This was God's plan for all this to happen. And of course, Exodus 1 and 8 tells us that there arose a new king over Egypt. This Pharaoh died, and another one came up, and this one didn't know Joseph. So he didn't have any clout anymore. He didn't stand in good with the Pharaoh. So that messed him up. So he says now, God had promised a deliverer, Genesis 50, 24 and 25. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones from hence. So that's the story that gets us up to this. Moses is the one that was chosen now to go and lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. We know this story. So here's where Pharaoh comes into play. He meets Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is resistant. You know, Moses walks up there and talks to him. Pharaoh wanted to keep control of these Israelites. They had been in bondage for 400 years. I don't know how old this Pharaoh was, but ever how old he wasn't 400 years old. They were there when he was born, and they were still there, and he didn't want to give them up. They'd always been there all his life. When he was told that the Lord said, let his people go, he refused. He just out and out. He didn't even give the second thought. He said no. Then later when the plagues came, he sort of relented a little bit and tried to compromise. That's the way the devil works. A lot of times he reasoned with Eve, if you'll remember. He'll compromise. A lot of times we'll get to reading the Bible and we'll get to thinking. Somebody will say, you know, if you look at it like this, and they'll get us sidetracked. They'll start reasoning with us. That's the devil in them trying to dissuade us from what we believe and know is right. That's what Pharaoh was doing there. Satan's still doing the very same thing today. When you look at Pharaoh and you look at how the devil was controlling him, the things he was doing, you can see the devil in him just straight up and down. Even though this was a few thousand years ago, a whole different country there, a whole different time, it's amazing how we can read these things. We can look at what was going on. And Satan is still doing the same thing today that he did to Pharaoh and lots of other people. Satan is still at it. And like I said, he's been doing this a long time. He's got it down pat. So he's doing it with much success. If you look at us compared to the people in the world that are not even thinking about God, the devil's doing a good job, isn't he? Let's read Exodus 8, 25 through 27, if you got your Bibles there. If I can find my place, this Bible's about to fall apart. I read it a little bit and throw it around a lot, so it gets torn up some. Exodus 8, 25 through 27. Verse 25, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet for us to do so, sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. He was saying here, if they sacrifice, he said, we're getting in trouble doing this. He goes on down there and he said, will they not stone us? He's saying, if we do this, they worshiped a lot of those animals that they were going to sacrifice for God. So they'd be in a heap of trouble if they did this. That was their mindset. And Moses grew up there with the Egyptians. He knew exactly what they practiced, what they did. That was God's plan. That's the reason he chose Moses. Moses knew all their ways. And then 40 years over there tending sheep, he knew all about the wilderness. Moses was the perfect one to get to go over there. They couldn't pull wool over his eyes. He knew all about what they were doing. Beginning with, Moses asked Pharaoh to let his, said, God said, let the people go. This is Exodus 5, 1 and 2. You need to notice. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Straight out of the gate, that was how he answered. That's what he said when he asked him. He didn't even give it a second thought, didn't even consider it. Not only did he refuse, but he punished the Israelites after this. He took it out on them because that request was made. He made it harder on the Israelites, made them work harder. They were having to make brick. And he said, let them get their own straw and continue making as much brick as they were already making. He made them work a lot harder. He was an evil person, very evil. It was after this, in Exodus 7 and 3, after he had already refused and showed what an evil man he was, then it says that God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I want you to notice, he had already refused first before God said that. He didn't harden his heart to start with. He gave him a chance like he does everybody. Moses said, God said, let my people go. He could have said, okay. That would have been the end of the story there, and Pharaoh would have looked like a hero himself. He refused because he was evil. He had a hard heart. He was already hard-hearted before God said, well, I'll just harden his heart. God, what God was saying was, I'm going to let him keep this hard heart. He's had it all his life. He's had it a long time. He's always been mean and evil and hard-hearted. So God just let him keep that hard heart. That helped accomplish the plan that he wanted to do, that he wanted to show the people there that he was God. He wanted the people to know when he led them out of Egyptian bondage, all of Egypt would know that he was God. Plus, the Israelites would know that he was God. They'd been in Egyptian bondage there for 400 years. Stories had been passed down and they knew a little bit about God, a little bit about Abraham, their forefathers. They had been told some things. But they were not really serving God like they should because it had kind of lost a little bit over 400 years, you can imagine. So God needed to rekindle their faith. They were about to leave on a journey to Canaan, and they needed to have lots of faith to get through there. And as we know the story later on, we'll never get that far, but we know that they didn't have enough faith. Romans 1:28 tells us that God will deal with us the same way the day that he dealt with Pharaoh. It's very scary when you read this. It's always got my attention. He says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, there's people today that don't like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Reprobate mind is one that God rejects. What he's saying is, if you say no to God enough, on and on and on, we all have lots of opportunities to serve God. But if we refuse continually over and over and over, after a while, God will just wash his hands of us. He'll say, okay, you want the devil? Have at it. I'm not going to give you another opportunity. I won't even let you think about it. You won't have a conscience anymore towards me. That's what he does. That was pretty much the way he did Pharaoh, because Pharaoh had been mean all of his life, always been an evil man. Like I said, last night, he was killing babies when Moses was born. That was 80 years before this. Moses was 80 years old. So, Pharaoh had a hard heart already, so God allowed him to keep it. I don't see a problem with that at all when you look at that. This on and on and on, you got so many chances. That's it. God knows how many chances it would take to get us, and after a while, he knows he can see the future. So he gives up on us. Very scary when you see that. Very, very dangerous just to out and out say no to God. Very dangerous. If you know that God wants you to do something, you know, God doesn't talk to us like he did the people in the old there, but sometimes you can see when something needs to be done and nobody's doing it, you know this is God's work that needs to be carried on. You need to volunteer and do it. You know, in an essence, if you don't, you're pretty much saying no to God. You're not really concerned about God's work. So Pharaoh refused and said he didn't know the Lord. He said, who is he? I don't know anything about him, and I'm not going to let Israel go. That's what he said. You know, that's typical of people in the world today when you think about it. If you try to make application here, mankind's whole purpose of existence here right now in this whole world, everybody is to serve God. That's why we're all here. We're created in the image of God. Yet many people will not listen. They don't want to hear anything about God's furthest thing from their mind. They're not concerned about church, about worship, about anything else. Neither was Pharaoh. That didn't bother him at all. Who is God? You know, you're taking up my time here mentioning this. Verse 25, Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It's not meet to do so," for this is what we just looked at in the Bible there, "but we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us." Exodus 8, verse 5 and 6. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt." So since Pharaoh wouldn't listen to God, he sent a plague of frogs. He had frogs, 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 and more frogs. I can just imagine. There were frogs everywhere. So this same Pharaoh that just recently said, "I don't know who God is, and I'm not going to let the people go," he says in verse 8 right here, right after the frogs came, "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go. They may do sacrifice unto the Lord." Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds good. This is the devil talking right here. It's what you got to remember. This is the devil talking. So you can't just take what he says at face value. He's up to something. So Pharaoh relented here. Just once the problem was solved, though, once the frogs were gone, guess what? He went right back to not listening. He just said that, you know, just sometimes our kids say, "Oh, I'll quit. Don't whip me. I'll quit a little bit to doing it again." That's the way Pharaoh was. He said, I'll tell God just to take the frogs back and I'll quit this. We see it today with people who've become religious. They're not religious, but they become religious during all their problems. When they got problems, you know, they're hurting. Problems, the tragedy of 9/11, I've used that a lot. When that happened, they had people all over the country praying and holding up flags, "God bless America." And then after a while, you know, it's still not really resolved. We never really got that straightened out completely, but it's sort of off of our mind, eased off some. People have forgotten about it now. You don't see them saying, "God bless America," and praying to God and on their knees every day now. Things got a little better, so they backed off. There were thousands of people praying. You know, they showed it on TV and everywhere. The Boston bombing that happened back a while, it had a lot of people upset, caused a lot of people to pray then about that situation. I was watching a little of that on TV myself. Once it was resolved, went right back to life as it was. Is that not what Pharaoh was doing? It's exactly what he was doing. It's what people are doing today. When God helps them through the trouble there, when they get it over and life comes back down, they forget God. Go back to what they were doing. Go back to the devil. They forget their promises, just like Pharaoh did. Pharaoh is still stubborn, so God sends a plague of lice. And the frogs had him upset a little bit, but didn't stop him. So as read, God is doing this to show Pharaoh and all of Egypt that he is a true and living God. That's one purpose here. I want you to notice that. Now, if he sent the plague of lice, it was convincing even to Pharaoh's magicians. Think about that. I think it was for good reason, too. Of course it was. God knows what he's doing. Anytime he does anything, God's in control. We may not understand, but God knows what he's doing. He's got a reason for everything he does. All of Egypt was to know that he was Lord. Well, these magicians figured out that he was. And certainly more than just the magicians had figured this out. When they had seen what had happened, they knew he was God. They were not Jews, of course. But they were God's creation. Now, this is speculation on my part. And sometimes I go out on a limb, but this may have been for the benefit of regard to their souls. Why else would God go to so much trouble to show Egypt that he was God? unless he wanted them to realize because of their souls. Now, you know, if you think about it, Jesus' death on the cross was for past, present, and future. That's what it was for. It's retroactive. So we don't know the minds of those folks. I don't know how God goes about that. What I'm saying is it's a possibility. Very good reason that God might have wanted them to know that He was God, because the gods they were worshiping were false gods. Those cows couldn't do anything for them or whatever they were worshiping. But He made it a point that they would know, and it worked. The magicians said, "This is God." Notice verse 19, "Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said." Of course his heart was hardened, and God made sure it was. Before, the magicians probably thought that Moses and Aaron, what they were doing, they were probably just conjuring up a little magic like they were doing. But that's probably what they thought. But now they was convinced that no man could do what they were seeing being done right here. No man could do this. This had to be God doing this. Because they knew they could conjure up a little magic. They could do a little bit. You know, God will allow evil spirits to have some power. That you can read that in the Bible. That's true today. Devil worshippers have some power, they tell me. That's what the attraction is. Of course, God is in control of the whole universe. But it's not very much power. Those magicians knew this was God. There's no doubt. Even though the rest of them realized this, the magicians and many others, Pharaoh paid it no attention. Today's no different. Mention is made by other people. It wasn't Moses and Aaron so much telling him it was God. It was some of the people there in Egypt. It doesn't necessarily have to be us out here preaching to somebody. It can be people of the world. They'll talk about church and God and how they need to do better. And they'll be talking about that to somebody. And they don't listen to them either. Pharaoh didn't listen to the magicians or anybody else, let alone Moses and Aaron. But that's the way the world is today. They won't accept it. They don't want to hear about it. Can you see Satan working in all this? That's what I want you to see. We're studying about Pharaoh and several different things going a long way around here, I guess. But I want you to see how he is just controlling Pharaoh. He's controlled him all his life. He's continuing to control him. The devil has full control of him, and he's doing nothing about it. He's just following along like Satan's having him do. There's people in the world today hooked just as bad as Pharaoh was at that time. That is sad, sad, sad when you look at that. When you look at that, and praise God that we're here tonight and we're believers and we're sons and daughters of God. We're not in a situation like that. Some of those folks out there, some are unreachable. They're hurting like Pharaoh was. It's kind of sad to look at Pharaoh. You just have to keep looking back at what he's always done and say, well, he got what was coming to him. That's the way you've got to look at it. But still, it's sad to look at anybody that is just doomed. If you look at the devil himself, he's trying to cause it all to be lost that he possibly can. But in the very end, if you're with the devil, you're going to lose. Right now, I don't care who you are anywhere, if God hasn't just given up on you, you have a chance to go to heaven. You can make things right. The devil cannot. He is doomed, he is lost, and his end is coming. He's going to be in hell, fire, and brimstone, and that's it. There's no way out for him. His destination is sealed. If we follow him, ours is going to be sealed. But we have an opportunity. We can make a difference. We can make a difference in our life and other people's lives if we'll tell him. If we can get across to people what the devil is like. I think if we could know what it was like, it'd be hard to go to sleep at night if you knew what the devil was like. When you read about these things in here, we just read it so much, it's just second nature, we just heard it so much, it doesn't break our hearts like it should. But he's something to be reckoned with. Verse 24, and the Lord did so. He said ask him to remove this. And God sends the flies in Exodus 8, 24 and 25. He sends a swarm of flies. It's something, the way God works. Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Pharaoh started calling Moses. Called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." Sound like he's given up here. Looks like this has got him on his knees now, and he's quit because of these flies. No, he hasn't. If it wasn't so sad, it'd almost be comical when you look at this, the way he just keeps trying to bargain back and forth, and he's trying to compromise, he's trying to reason. It's what he does best. These four plagues is begin to wear him down a little bit. So Pharaoh, he listened to the proposal here from Moses and Aaron that God requested. He's sick of these flies. You can imagine he's sick of these flies. So he gives in a little bit, but he tries to stay in control. He wants it to look like he's really doing what they want, but he wants to hold on. He wants to keep control. That's the way the devil is. The devil won't give up control unless he has to. He does not want to, and he'll make you think he is, and he'll lie and trick you to the very last. That's what he's doing. He wants to compromise. He says, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." In other words, you can worship, but stay here in the land of Egypt. Don't go that three days' journey. Stay here in the land of Egypt. That's what he's saying. Well, that's not what God told him to do, is it? Which would have been 3 days' journey would have well been out of Egyptian territory had he done that. Moses didn't let him get away with this. He didn't trick Moses at all. Staying in the land of worship would have been disobeying God, for one thing. And for another, it would have been an abomination to the Egyptian people, like we were saying a while ago, because they worshipped these animals that they were going to be sacrificing. For instance, if they worshipped a cow and they offered this cow up as a burnt offering, this whole bunch would have stoned them to death, like Moses said. That would have angered them so much. Their heart was there. They thought this was their God. I don't know if it was a cow. I'm just using that as an example. They had several animals there. Whatever it was, if it was a cow, a lamb, whatever it was, a goat. They couldn't do that. They couldn't worship there in this land like he offered. It sounded like a good offer, a good compromise when he offered that, but he was tricking again. That's the way the devil works. Most likely they would have been stoned to death there, as he pointed out in verse 26. You know, to Pharaoh, it didn't matter where they worshipped. It didn't matter if they worshipped idols or what they did. He didn't care. Satan says today, worship at the church of your choice. It doesn't matter where you worship. Worship at the church of your choice. Satan will tell you that. He wants you to think that and believe that, and a lot of people do. That's what Pharaoh was saying. Go ahead and worship right over here in the land. That's what he was doing. So Pharaoh tries another compromise in Exodus 8 and 28. Pharaoh said, "I'll let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, and you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." He said, "Just do that for me. Don't go a long way off, but you can go ahead and sacrifice there in the wilderness. Don't go too far." He's trying to pull that same trick again, like he does on us. He said, "You can just go ahead," but he said, "Don't stray off too far." He said, "Stay in the world." That's what he tells us today. Fraternize with the world. Just don't hang around Christian people in the church all the time. You need to stay in the world. Don't just give up the world. Don't give up the land. Don't go very far off. He would have us believe that we can stay in the world and worship God acceptably. A lot of people try that. It won't work, will it? We cannot do that. James 4:4 says, "Friendship with the world is enmity with God." You know, we have to work with people and see people here and there, but as far as fraternizing with them, going out with them, just spending all our time with people that are not in the church, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. If there's more of us than there are of them, you think you might convert them, let's try that. But if you just go in with them, have a good time, that's your fishing buddies and whatever. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. We have a responsibility there to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Also says in Ephesians 5:11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." reprove them means when you see them doing wrong, say, fella, do you know this is going against what God teaches? The Bible condemns what you're doing. Do you know that? Rebuke them, repute them, reprove them. That's what we're supposed to do. So many times I think we don't do that because it's unpopular to do that, and we feel like we're going to reach opposition there with somebody. So a lot of times we keep our mouth shut and don't say anything. It's our job to do that according to the Bible right here. Rather reprove them when you see them doing wrong. Well, if you want to do that, all you got to do is just get in your car and start down the road in the morning. You're going to see somebody you can reprove. There's plenty of them out there. Start with ourselves, I guess. Christians can't take shortcuts, but instead we're supposed to go the extra mile. We always look at the shortcuts. Not going through the motion, but completing the task. Following through. So many times when you read in the Bible things Paul did and different ones in there, they ran across hardships and problems. They didn't quit and give up. They followed through. We're to follow through. No matter what it is, if we set out, if we're serving God, we're supposed to follow through. There is no shortcuts. Go that extra mile. Do more than it's expected of us. It was after the plague of the hail that came, the hail and the thunderstorm, that Pharaoh offered another compromise. He's ready to deal again now. He wants to talk it over here. He appeared to be sorry for what he'd done here. A lot of times we fall for that. Notice what he said, Exodus 9:27-28. Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. He hadn't said that before, you know, for somebody that's just a heathen, you know, that's pretty good. I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Get your attention when he says that. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough. He said, I've seen enough plagues. Go entreat the Lord for me, that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Sounds good, doesn't it? He's a pretty good salesman. You listen to him. But this was sorrow without change. You see that a lot today, don't you? It's a type of sorrow that many people try to offer. They cry, they mourn, and they tell us how sinful they are. Oh, I just messed up so bad. And they cry, and they're pitiful. But they never change their life. You can cry and carry on all you want to and feel sorry for yourself and get everybody else sorry for you. But if you don't make a change, you're not doing anything. That's what Pharaoh was doing. That's what the devil had Pharaoh doing. The devil has people doing that today. It gets to you when you see somebody crying and carrying on. You feel, man, your heart goes out to them. But if it's all a show, if they're just doing that, a lot of people do that because they're caught. You know, you see some of these evangelists on TV there that get caught. You know, they can cry pitiful. I mean, they're fantastic actors, aren't they? Won't call any names. We know several. They're actors. When they get caught, they can cry so pitiful. Pharaoh was sad because he didn't like the hailstorm. No repentance there at all. None whatsoever. Well, we didn't expect any to be there anyway because God let him keep that hardened heart that he had all his life. Notice verses 34 and 35. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And hardened his heart, he and his servants, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Wish we had time to read all of this. It's very interesting. There's a lot goes on there, and there's a lot of points to be made. It goes on about the Passover and all. We know a lot about that. We can't cover all that. But it's interesting how people try to bargain with God today. Don't bargain with God. If you open the Bible and God says don't lie, then don't say, God cannot lie in a case like this or this. Is it all right not to hurt somebody's feelings and maybe tell a little white lie? Don't start bargaining. If he says do not lie, don't lie. Don't lie. Don't start bargaining like Pharaoh did. You're not going to trick God at all. You may trick your fellow man. Other people may fall for things like the devil does. He tricks a lot of people. He's got a lot of people following him. The devil is smart. Make no doubt about it. He's very smart, very good at what he does. Don't compromise anything with God. Do what He says to the letter. We're going to look at a couple more dealings here. We're going to close. Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh and said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? That's what Pharaoh said. He said, go serve your God, but which one of y'all is going? Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds, will we go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, and I will let you go. And you little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. He said, now this is a dangerous thing you're setting out on here. Not so. Go now that ye are men, go ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. They were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So here we go again. He's bargaining again. Instead of letting people go, he said, who all is going? He knew who all was going. But he asked who all is going. Moses answered and said, all of us, animals, everything, we taking it, livestock and all. We're all going. So who's going? And he says, well, why don't you men just go? This is a dangerous trip. Evil is out there. Why don't you men go? In so many words, I'm paraphrasing here. In other words, leave the women and children here and you men go on out there. He was grasping at straws. He was trying anything he could. Of course, that was just another trick. He knew if the men went and left the women and children, that they'd come back. They wasn't going to go far without the women and children, so he had them. That was his strategy there. Didn't matter what the men did, where they went, whatever, he didn't care, because he knew he would still have control of the family, and they would be back. Moses knew that couldn't work. That's not what God wants today either. Just the men. God doesn't want just us men here. We brought our wives with us, our children with us. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. When you're baptized into Christ, you became a citizen of heaven. With it came responsibility. We got responsibility to our spouses, to our children, our grandchildren. Bring them with us. The men don't just come to church without them. That's sort of the same analogy there. You men go on and leave the women and children here. We have an obligation, Ephesians 6 and 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Two, it might be the Pharaoh thought that the older ones already there, they had a mindset to go, and he couldn't change their mind probably. So he couldn't sway them, and he could manipulate the younger generation. That's the way it is today. A lot of the older people in the churches today won't go along with changes. You come up and try to change things. The devil knows this. He knows the older one. We know better. We were raised different. We don't allow a lot of rebellious changes coming in the church. So they go more after the younger generation. The devil is behind it. Just like the Pharaoh was here. He was with Pharaoh. Brings us to one last final attempt here. The compromise. Exodus 10:24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye and serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. You and all the folks, take the young ones, take your wife and kids with you, leave the stock. He doesn't quit, does he? He keeps on and on and on. The devil doesn't quit. He never gives up. Never, ever, ever. He might leave you alone for a little bit. James 4 and 7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That means on this point, whatever he's bothering you with, he'll flee from you at the time, but he'll be back. He won't give up. He doesn't quit. He never has. He may stop a little while and regroup, get us another angle, wear us down. We shouldn't quit either. God did not quit, of course. Moses didn't quit. He saw it through. He went through and he said, we're going to take the cattle, the hoof, everything. He said, we're not leaving nothing. What Moses speaks here speaks very highly of him. He summed it up well here and says in verse 26, our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof we must take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. Quite an interesting story when you look at it. We can see several things from this. You can see the bravery of Moses for one thing. We need to be brave when we're serving God. We should obey God to the letter. Like the last paragraph we read there, that last verse that Moses said, carried out to the letter like God says. Don't just do it partially, halfway. God doesn't want that. That's what He wanted. He'd have told us to do it halfway. If He tells us to do something, we do it all the way. Can we see how Satan can consume you? He can own you and manipulate you till you lose all reason and ability? He can do that if you allow Him to. You don't have to allow Him to. But if you do, you will lose all reason and ability. There's people out there in the world who have lost it. You cannot tell them anything because of the devil. We need to realize how powerful he is. God allowed him, Pharaoh, to keep that hardened heart so that he could show the Egyptian people that he was God. That their gods couldn't even stop any of those plagues. There's one other major thing that I want us to see here. I want you to see how God works, how God is, how powerful God is. He's a lot more powerful than Satan. He only lets Satan have what power he wants him to have. When you see how powerful Satan is, multiply that a whole lot, and that's how powerful God is, a lot more than Satan. We need to realize that. You know, a frog in itself is pretty harmless. A little old frog can't hurt a fly. But if you send a bunch of them, it's pretty unpleasant, isn't it? God could have brought crocodiles, bears, lions, whatever he wanted to in there to Pharaoh. He could have filled up the house with anything. He sent frogs, little innocent creatures. Whatever he wanted to do, he punished Pharaoh with flies. Frogs, fleas, frogs, lice, and flies. A swarm of flies. You think it's kind of comical when you look at that. I can think it shows the greatness of God's power. By doing what he did, making these insects and these harmless creatures go over there and defeat his enemy. He didn't have to have these strong armies. He didn't have to have a whole bunch of weapons. He just defeated them with simple little insects, little creatures, harmless creatures, just to show his power. God just toyed with him. You see how foolish it is to go up against God Almighty? You see how it is? Reminds me a little bit of there, and we're going to close. When Jonah was swallowed by that fish, God could have done anything he wanted to, had him swallowed by that fish. He spit him out, and he went on to Nineveh because he knew he had to go. This is what God wanted him to do, so he had to go. And he gets over there in the hot sun. God lets this gourd come out over his head and shade him because it was so hot. And then he took that worm and cut that in two, and it withered up, and he lost his shade. God just plays with us. God is just, we're no match for Him at all. He doesn't have to come at us with mighty weapons. We're little nothings. Pharaoh was a little nothing. Beat him with a swarm of flies. That's how powerful God is. God can do what He wants to. What we need to realize is how powerful God is. Stay on His side. That's the only way you're going to defeat the devil. Don't give the devil any room in your heart because you never know. If he gets in there, he's going to stay a long time. He may cause you to be lost because he'll deceive the very elect. The Bible tells us that. That means I can be lost, you can be lost. We're not above it. Nobody's above it. If you didn't get anything else out of this lesson, don't play around with the devil. Do not. You'll lose. You will lose, I guarantee you. The Bible's full of people that lost. The world's full of people that have lost it. Hell's going to be full of people that lost it. That's my lesson. I hope maybe that we learned a little bit from Pharaoh there. Learned a whole lot about what the devil's like. And know a whole lot about what God's about. God's on our side. Praise God, we're here tonight serving Him. If you're in the devil's clutches, we invite you to come down for prayer, for baptism, whatever we can do to assist you. Don't waste your time fooling around with the devil. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.